very good afternoon to one and all. Welcome to What's Cooking for the month of August 2014. If you were listening to the show a couple of months ago, you may recall that we had breakfast together, and very nice it was too. So, what meal comes after breakfast? Lunch. Yes, indeed. So, on this month's What's Cooking, let's do lunch. The abbreviation lunch, in use from 1823, is taken from the more formal luncheon, which the Oxford English Dictionary reports from 1580 as describing a meal that was inserted between more substantial meals. During the Middle Ages, the main meal for almost everyone took place at midday, where there was no need for artificial lighting. During the 17th and 18th century, the dinner was gradually pushed back into the evening, leaving a wider gap between it and breakfast that came to be filled in with lunch. Up until the early 19th century, luncheon was generally reserved for the ladies, who would often have lunch with one another when their husbands were out as late as 1945. Emily Post wrote in the magazine Etiquette that luncheon is generally given by and for women, but it is not unusual, especially in summer places or in town, on Saturday or Sunday, to include an equal number of men. Hence the mildly disparaging phrase, the ladies who lunch. Lunch was a ladies' light meal when the Prince of Wales stopped to eat a dainty luncheon with lady friends. He was laughed at for this effeminacy. Mrs. Beaton's book of Household Management, 1861, a guide to all aspects of running a household in Victorian Britain, had much less to say to explain about luncheon than about dinners or ball suppers. The remains of cold joints, nicely garnished, a few sweets, or a little hashed meat, poultry or game, are the usual articles placed on the table for luncheon, with bread and cheese, biscuits, butter, etc. If a substantial meal is desired, rump steaks or mutton chops may be served, as also veal cutlets, kidneys, brains, guts, or any dish of that kind. In families where there is a nursery, the mistress of the house often partakes of the meal with the children and makes it her luncheon. In the summer, a few dishes of fresh fruit should be added to the luncheon, or instead of this, a compote of fruit, or fruit tart, or pudding. With the onset of industrialisation in the 19th century, male workers began to work longer shifts at the factory, severely disrupting the age-old eating habits of the rural life. Initially, workers were sent home for a brief dinner provided by their wives. But as the workplace was removed farther from the home, working men took to providing themselves with something portable to eat at a break in the schedule during the middle of the day. The lunch meal slowly became institutionalised in England when workers with long and fixed hour jobs at the factory were eventually officially given an hour off work as a lunch break to give them strength for the afternoon shift. Stalls and later chop houses near the factories began to provide mass-produced food for the working class, and the meal soon became an established part of the daily routine, remaining so to this day. So, what do people eat for lunch around the world? We'll start in Asia, and a traditional Bengali lunch is a 7-course meal. My goodness. The first course being shukto, which is a mix of vegetables cooked with a few spices and topped with coconut icing. The second course consists of rice, dal, and a vegetable curry. The third course consists of rice and fish curry. The fourth course is that of rice and meat curry, generally chivon, mutton, chicken or lamb. The fifth course contains sweet preparations like rasgulla, pantu, rajpog, sandesh, etc. The sixth course consists of payesh or meshti dough, sweet yogurt. The seventh course is that of pan, which acts as a mouth freshener. In China today, lunch is not nearly as complicated as it was before its industrialization. Rice, noodles, and other mixed hot foods are often eaten, either at a restaurant or brought in a container. However, Western cuisine is not uncommon either in most areas. In the Middle East and in most Arab countries, lunch is eaten between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. and is the main meal of the day. It usually consists of meat, rice, vegetables and sauces, and is sometimes, but not always, followed by dessert. In Mexico, lunch is usually the main meal of the day. There are usually 3 or 4 courses. The first is an entree of rice, noodles or pasta, but also may include a soup or salad. The second course consists of a main dish called guisado, served with 1 or 2 side dishes consisting of refried beans, cooked vegetables, rice or salad. The main dish is accompanied with tortillas or a bread called bolillo. The third course is a combination of a traditional dessert or sweet, café de olla, and a digestive. During the meal, it is usual to drink aguas frescas. South America. In Argentina, lunch is usually the main meal of the day. People usually eat a wide variety of foods like chicken, beef, pasta, salads, and a drink such as water, soda or wine, and some dessert. Although at work, people usually take a fast meal, which can consist of some kind of sandwich brought from home or brought in a fast food place. Britons buy about 3 billion ready-made sandwiches a year. A sandwich is the lunch option of 75% of us, says market research analyst Mintel. The retail sandwich market is worth £6 billion. Britain's favourite sandwich is chicken salad. So, how about some lunchtime recipes? And our first one is for toasted cheese bread. Certainly one of my favourites. Let's enjoy.
G'day, Eddie J here. Welcome back to my kitchen at home. Now this morning, I would like to show you how to make a simple snack for lunch, open-faced sandwich open face roll placed under the grill with tomato, cheese, gherkin or pickled onion. A very nice tasty lunchtime or morning snack. Now here we have our two types of wraps, and I've cut them in half here. I'm going to put margarine on one and olive oil on the other. Different flavour, no cholesterol in olive oil. This is virgin oil, so it's got more flavour. Now these are going to be open-faced sandwiches, and no gherkin on these ones. Now we'll put pickled onion on the others. And then after that, our cheese. This is cheddar cheese. This is matured cheddar cheese, so it's tasty matured cheddar cheese. More flavour than the mild. It's up to you which you choose. Now just a small amount of pepper on there. The cheese has got salt in it, but if you want to put salt on the tomato, you can put salt on the tomato. I haven't put any salt on the tomato because the cheese... And there we are. Now we can put that on our tray to go under the grill. There we are. That's going under the grill now. Okay, now I've taken them from out from under the grill. So you see them there. And I'll serve two per portion, of course. That's one bread roll each. And I'll give them one of each type. Very tasty lunchtime snack, folks. Look at that. Cheese, open sandwiches, under the grill with either tomatoes and pickled onions or tomatoes and gherkins. Excellent. Very nice.
Next up, how about the perfect baked potato? And this is the perfect jacket potato with two tasty fillings. For this recipe, you will need two fat, floury potatoes, Maris Piper, King Edward, or Marafona, are all good bakers. Olive oil, flaked sea salt for the gratinated smoked trout filling, two smoked trout fillets, one tablespoon chopped fresh parsley or chives, two handfuls grated mature cheddar cheese, one teaspoon hot horseradish sauce or English mustard, two large knobs of butter, sea salt and freshly ground black pepper. If you want to use the curried cream cheese topping, you will need 150 grams, 5 ounces cream cheese, 1 tablespoon medium curry paste, 4 spring onions or very small red onion chopped, 2.5 cm, 1 inch piece cucumber chopped into dice, 1 to 2 ripe tomatoes chopped, a small handful chopped fresh mint or coriander leaves, good squeeze of lemon or lime juice, sea salt and freshly ground black pepper. And
this is what you do.
1. Preheat the oven to 200 degrees C, 400 degrees F, gas 6. 2. Wash the potatoes well, dry them, and prick several times with a fork. Pour some olive oil into your hands and rub over the potatoes, then scatter over some sea salt, which should stick to the oil. Place directly on the shelf in the oven and bake for 1 to 2 hours, depending on the size of the potato. When cooked, the potato should be golden brown and crisp on the outside and give a little when squeezed. Serve split open with lots of salted butter or try one of the fillings. For the gratinated smoked trout filling, preheat the grill to medium-high. split the baked potatoes in half and scoop out most of the fluffy flesh with a fork into a bowl. Flake in the trout and add the parsley or chives, 3/4 of the cheese, horseradish or mustard, and butter, and stir with the potato flesh until just combined. Season to taste with salt and freshly ground black pepper. Spoon back into the potato skins, sit on a baking sheet, and scatter over the remaining cheese. Grill until the cheese is bubbling and pale golden brown. For the curried cream cheese topping, mix together all of the curried cream cheese ingredients and season to taste with salt and pepper. Split open the cooked potatoes and spoon the cheese mixture on top. It will melt and ooze into the hot steaming potato. Next up, a recipe for chicken noodle soup, and this is one of several recipes I have, and chicken noodle soup, definitely one of my favourite types of soup. So, looking forward to this one.
Here's our Cook the Perfect Chicken Noodle Soup. Now, this is quick, it's easy, and it's very satisfying, and the chef today, Rachel Allen, hi again, Rachel.
Hi.
Is it an Asian flavoured soup? Is that the idea?
It is. It's I travelled around Southeast Asia for a while, and it's basically a very simplified version of a lot of those really hearty, brothy soups that you have. They're light, but they're nicely substantial because of the noodles.
The noodles are okay. You soaked them at the beginning of the programme. How long do you do that for?
I soaked them just for about 5 minutes, and I've drained them already. And you see, look, they're softened.
Yes, I can see that.
Nicely. So normally what I would do is I would soak those while I'm preparing the other ingredients. But I'll stop preparing the other ingredients now.
But the main ingredient is the chicken stock, yeah?
Yes. So I've got the chicken stock here, and almost a litre of it, but this is the kind of soup that often I don't follow a recipe for, but
strictly speaking, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the chicken stock in the saucepan here, which is on the heat. So that's just coming up to the boil, and I'm going to add in some garlic and some ginger, and that's just going to give it this lovely warming flavour. It's really good at this time of the year.
This is unpeeled ginger, isn't it?
Unpeeled ginger. Just slice it. I don't want to have grated ginger in there because I don't want the intense heat of the ginger. I just want a good subtle ginger flavour. So I'm slicing the ginger.
How thick are your slices of ginger then?
See, just like this, a couple of millimetres.
Okay, so really skinny actually. Look,
yeah,
like little slices of potato.
Exactly. Yeah, a couple of millimetres.
Okay, that goes in the stock. Now the stock, obviously you can make your own. Can you very briefly give us your chicken carcass stock recipe?
Absolutely. I always, for a soup like this, for anything I'm cooking, I always start with a whole chicken. And then once I've used the bits, if I've roasted the chicken, whether the carcass is cooked or raw, you know, if I've taken the breasts or leg meat off for this, I would then throw the chicken carcass, raw or cooked, into a saucepan, biggish saucepan, you know, so it would sit in the bottom half of the saucepan.
Sure.
Throw in a carrot or two, an onion or two, you know, once they're clean, even if they're not peeled, that doesn't matter, cut them in half. The green top of a leek or a whole leek or a stick of celery if you have one. And
you make it sound so simple, but I'd be quite hesitant about lumping all those things into the stock, but it doesn't matter.
Throw them in. Not okay. Too many onions. You don't want it to be too strong. I like to throw some garlic into a chicken stock as well.
And leave for how long?
And cover up with cold water, a couple of peppercorns or sprigs of parsley if you like. But the important thing is cold water, because as the water comes up to the boil, as it's on a slow heat for a couple of hours, it draws all the flavour and the goodness out of the chicken into the broth. That's what you want to do.
Of course, you might not be able to make your own chicken stock, so a cube is basically all right.
Exactly. And a cube is what I'm using here today because I didn't make
it in
my hotel room this morning.
Okay, I can't really blame you. Now, we've got the garlic in there, we've got the unpeeled ginger. Now, the chicken meat is either breast or thigh, but you're cooking them from raw. So how long do you need? You have to slice it really thinly,
presumably. Slice it really thinly, and it really only takes a couple of minutes.
Does it?
It really does. And you know, if this was something, if you had some leftover roast chicken in the fridge from yesterday, sure, then slice it in cooked. Perfect. But if you put it in raw, and if it cooks in the stock, you're going to have a better flavour and better texture. But once you slice it really thinly, it's going to cook very, very quickly.
So people needn't be worried about that then?
Needn't be worried at all. As I said now, so the garlic and the ginger are in there. I'm not going to add any salt because I'm going to add Thai fish sauce at the end, and the Thai fish sauce, the nam pla, that's going to give the salty flavour.
Now that's pretty readily available these days, isn't
really
it? That stuff.
Readily yeah. available now in every supermarket, everywhere.
So you ask for fish sauce. If you can't find it, yeah, they'll be able to find it for you.
Thai or Vietnamese fish sauce. So the chicken, I have a chicken breast here, and I'm slicing it.
You have got, just describe the implement you are using.
This is fabulous. I love this. I've been given this amazing cleaver. It's fabulous, and it's really nice and sharp. And you see these lovely thin slices, they are, they're really thin.
You can almost see right through that.
Almost see, you know, it's almost the thickness of a, what, like a £2 coin or something. And just, I'm slicing the chicken breast all the way across, so nice long slices, but really nice and thin. And that's the key here. I don't want big chunks of chicken in there. Otherwise, it's going to take too long to cook in the centre.
Yeah.
And it'll be too dry on the outside.
And that's just not the point of this soup either, is it?
Exactly.
So you need, is it spring onions in here as well?
Spring onions I'm using. And then, because this soup is so simple, you really do need, you need everything to be quite delicious and tasty. So spring onions are there for their delicious, you know, oniony, deep flavour. But coriander, fresh coriander. But failing that, if I didn't have coriander, you could use mint or basil. I'm going to just now, while the chicken's cooking, just in the 1 minute it's cooking, I'm going to chop up spring onions and coriander, and then add those in. And I have some noodles.
Do they not go in the pan at all, then?
A lovely big soup bowl. Nope, they don't have to. The noodles are already cooked, so they were just from soaking for 5 minutes.
And they're edible?
And they're edible, they're perfect, okay. Like that. Don't cut the noodles, though.
Do not cut them.
Do not cut them.
Now, there are alternatives, of course. You can use prawns, can't you, if you like prawns?
Prawns are great in this. Or even pork actually would work well too. But prawns are really, really great in this soup.
If it's pork, presumably you've got to cook it longer, surely.
I would use a fillet of pork, the pork steak. And I would cut it still really thinly. And still it'll only take, well, it'll take slightly more than 1 to 2 minutes. It'll take about 3 minutes. That's it, though. Because it's a lean cut of pork.
Yeah, sure. How's the chicken doing?
The chicken, I'd say, is probably cooked at this stage. So I'm just slicing the spring onion at a nice angle like this. I've got roughly chopped coriander. I'm going to add some fish sauce in.
Okay.
To taste for the saltiness.
If people don't like the fish sauce, and there's also lime in here as well, isn't there?
Yes.
Could you, I mean, what about soy sauce or
absolutely.
Worcester sauce even?
Worcester sauce, you could. Not too much. You don't want it to overpower, but I really want it just to give it saltiness.
And the bowl of soup is coming over. Oh, fantastic. Thank you, Rachel. Okay, now, the spring onion is really, that's quite chunky as well, isn't it?
Just little slices.
Actually, it really is delicious, this. And particularly, as the nights close in, that's what people want to come home from school and work to, isn't it?
And so quick and
yeah.
easy.
Delicious.
And now, how about some Singapore style noodles? Make this takeaway favourite at home with our quick and easy recipe. And for this, you will need 2 tablespoons groundnut oil, 1 tablespoon grated fresh root ginger, 1 red chilli, de-seeded and finely chopped, 5 fresh shiitake mushrooms, sliced, 2 teaspoons ground turmeric, 100 grams, 3.5 ounces, smoked bacon, finely chopped, 1 red pepper, de-seeded and sliced, 1 handful julienned carrot strips, 1 handful bean sprouts, 100 grams, 3.5 ounces, leftover chicken shredded, 250 grams, 9 ounces, dried vermicelli rice noodles, pre-soaked in hot water for 10 minutes, 1 teaspoon crushed dried chilies, 2 tablespoons light soy sauce, 2 tablespoons oyster sauce, 1 tablespoon clear rice vinegar or cider vinegar, 1 free-range egg, beaten. Dash toasted sesame oil. 2 spring onions, sliced lengthways. And...
this is what you do.
1. Heat a wok until smoking and add the groundnut oil, then stir-fry the ginger, chilli, mushrooms and turmeric for a few seconds. 2. Add the bacon and cook for 15 to 20 seconds. Then add the red peppers, carrots, bean sprouts and cooked chicken. Stir-fry for 1 minute. 3. Add the noodles to the wok and toss for 1 to 2 minutes. Then season with the chilies, soy sauce, oyster sauce and vinegar. Stir well to combine. 4. Pour the beaten egg into the wok and stir gently for 1 minute or until the egg is cooked through. Season with a dash of sesame oil, then pile the stir fry onto a serving plate and garnish with the sliced spring onions. If you've been listening in past months, you will remember that I mentioned that I am planning to do a series of shows about safety in the kitchen. And whilst I have my own ideas, I'd like to hear from you, the listener, to know what you would like to hear in these shows. What bothers you about the kitchen? What worries you? Do you not feel safe around the stove? Do you not feel safe with chopping or something like that? What bothers you around the kitchen, using knives, using kitchen utensils? So I'd like to hear the sorts of things you'd like to hear on these programmes. Also, if you have any tips that you'd like to share with others, any safety tips. Now, I already have a few from some listeners, and thank you for those. But if you have any safety tips, then please do send them in. If you would like to send in recipes or feedback on the show, or would like to give me ideas for future shows, you can do so by emailing cooking@theglobalvoice.info. That's COOKIN @theglobalvoice.info. And that's also the email address to use if you have any safety tips for our Safety in the Kitchen shows, or to tell me what you would like to hear in these shows. I'll repeat that email address again, cooking@theglobalvoice.info. That's COOKIN @theglobalvoice.info. To download or to listen to this show again, go to theglobalvoice.info/gallery, where you can find archives of What's Cooking shows. You can also visit incx.org, where you can subscribe to the What's Cooking podcast. Well, time has really flown by today, and that is the end of another show, I'm afraid. So until I'm with you again, this is Sue Hadfield saying, look after yourselves and each other, and as always, happy cooking!